So our subject matter is truly awesome, isn't it? I mean, we're here to consider God. I mean, does the subject matter get any bigger than that, any more majestic? And to consider His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, the one that we can acknowledge in our prayers, the one who we want to be just like. What knowledge is more scarce on the face of the earth than the knowledge of God? It's either not there or it's frequently misunderstood. God is misunderstood. He's probably the most misunderstood being in the entire universe. Most frequently blasphemed, attributed all sort of evil things to Him, according to major doctrines of major churches, that every evil thing that happens is somehow part of His will. Somebody backs out of the driveway and runs over their little child and kills them. They're counseled by certain pastors of Calvinistic, and for that matter, much of Christianity has the view that it's somehow God's will. It's a mysterious, we don't know, but there's some purpose in it. Oh, really? Well, evolutionists and atheists, they don't want to believe in God anyway for their own reasons, but some of these teachings give them a good excuse to avoid Him and avoid Christianity because they've totally pictured God wrongly rather than the loving, kind person, just, patient, generous that He is. Well, we're here to set our minds to look at this huge, important subject, and I can think of nothing greater that we could put our brains to. And we humbly approach it, not having all the answers by any means. We're students here to share and to discuss. No know-it-alls, we. You know, we're not know-it-alls here. But at the same time, I think we are not bound by traditions and creeds centuries old that we have to view God in this category or some other category. We definitely have a minority position. It's a position that takes a risk. What is the risk, you say, for believing that, you know, there's just one God? Well, a lot of people would call that heresy right at the outset. And you a heretic. And somehow you've done damage to the sacred Trinity. And you've blasphemed God. And, of course, many of us have been accused of those things. But that is not what we're trying to do in our heart. Nor are we trying to judge others who have different views of God or understanding. So we can accept them as a brother, put our arms around them and realize that they're walking in the light they have and trying to seek God. And hopefully what we're presenting here, and we have been presenting now for many years, Sir Anthony Buzzard and his work and others, will contribute to people's search for God. And we won't always at the end of the day come to the same conclusions, will we? But isn't that all right? I think it's all right, and I think the very enterprise is a noble enterprise, and I can't think of anything more important. I know it's not going to make the news, but as our great God in heaven looks down and He sees a little group of people here in Dallas-Fort Worth pondering Him and pondering His name and what it means and what He's like and what His nature's like, can He not be pleased, I think, with that? I think that would be pleasing to Him. It certainly would be pleasing to me, you know, were I in His position, I would think. Well, Anthony, I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind coming up here and just saying a few words of welcome and also why you've devoted so much of your time to this enterprise of discovering the one true God. And then we're going to have a song, and we'll open with prayer, and we'll begin our seminars. Anthony.
Thanks very much. This is British English that comes more or less out of my mouth, tinged with Georgia. Just dropped my phone, and my wife says, what are you saying here? Get your English sorted out. I'm not from Alabama, you can tell that. It always gets a smile in the bank. Yeah, thanks, Ken, for that introduction. Why are we doing what we're doing? And that sounds like a good HWA question, doesn't it, in those days? That's another life for me, way, way back. It fascinates me that there are 6 billion people treading the earth right now who seem to be confused about who God is. And that's got to be an important question, hasn't it? If we believe that everybody eventually has to acknowledge the one God to be saved, then surely we've got a task. And it puzzles me why each person in our group doesn't engage somebody else in that conversation constantly, because you've got 6 billion candidates, so get busy. You can get one out of the 6 billion, if that's the right statistic, to see that Echad means one. So what drives me, I think, as a hack language teacher, you know, my whole training was in words and music, really, but words primarily. Never preached a sermon in the Armstrong days. My whole sense is that there's a chaos here that needs to be sorted out. And wouldn't Obama have done well if he could have said, well, and by the way, we're raising this issue of who Jesus and God are. And do you know that God is actually one? Hey, the Muslims, what? Say that again. What tremendous potential. I watched my father dying, killing himself, really trying to sort out the Middle East as director of naval intelligence and sort out the Jews and the Arabs. And so this is a marvelous problem-solving exercise. So that's what drives me. This is just totally fascinating. Second point is that religion has made people fearfully confused. They've Komplizierung is the German word that Ulrich uses in his book. They've made this so fearfully and frightfully difficult. And when you get as old as I am, you're not angry with people, but you're sorry when you hear. I'll quote you a couple of examples. I'll give you three examples of the confusion which I think our one thing is trying to sort out. But the Seventh-day Adventists, bless their hearts, wrote a book with their PhDs, and they said that Echad in Hebrew, one, Echad, is essentially a plural word. That's pretty amazing. It's like, you know, we all know that a key in music with two sharps is A flat. Well, we don't know that. I mean, we're frankly working at the level of imbecility here. We are. So give me a good atheist, they're fairly rational. Give me a Bible-clutching person who's been taught this or that doctrine from a beloved guru, and you've got problems, and we're all in that camp. So that was, I thought, classic. And they mean well. God is the judge. But Echad is essentially a plural word. Interesting. I mean, that just challenges me. Come on, can we do better than that? Second thing was that I was told that if we're meeting on Sunday, or if we're having a church meeting on Sunday, we're obviously into witchcraft. And this was from a beloved person who had 30 years earlier been in the Armstrong movement. We're into witchcraft. Now, when I sat across the table with her, I managed to convince her I wasn't into witchcraft, but the theory was there. That's all right. Within the last year, I've been told that if we don't speak in tongues as initial evidence, we're not saved. Now, we're not even in the body of Christ. Yeah, we're some sort of languishing Christian, but we're not saved. That's astonishing. Where'd they learn that? Same group believe there are demons, but no devil. That was a new configuration. Right, third example. This is my point is, the chaos is consummate. You know, it just cries out for somebody to come and settle the issue of God at least. Third example would be this. When James said the demons, the demonia, the demons believe in the one God and tremble. You know what that really means? Let me tell you. This is a la Christadelphian exegesis. It means the former idol worshippers now believe in the one God. See, that's the road to chaos. When words have ceased to have meaning, then we're all divided. So I think Ken's idea is right here. The Echad point, the one God thing, is so obviously, clearly true, at least to me it seems to be so, until you raise a better argument. This is one way of saying, can we get 35,000 denominations together? And while we're doing that, of course, we do have to be very respectful of other views. I have a dear friend on my left here, and he has one view. I won't expose it because, you know, he will faint. No. Shall I mention it? This is great. This is one of the nicest human beings you'll meet, by the way. John Thompson here. He believes in universal salvation, which cycles in and out of groups. It's all right. Does that mean we're going to kill each other over that? Absolutely not. We go at it very gently over breakfast, you know, about every 2 years. but do I see the fruits of the Spirit in him? Absolutely. So there's got to be a way to coexist in 6 billion people. We're not going to kill the Muslims for not believing in the Trinity or vice. I mean, this is unthinkable to me. So I suppose finally, my last sentence would be this. I'm really enraged at the idea of Calvin having burned Michael Servetus at the stake. That is an unspeakable wickedness, if I may say so. To take this poor man out, this brilliant theologian, and burn him slowly at the stake for challenging the Trinitarian doctrine is an unspeakable wickedness, isn't it? It's a Holocaust on a mini scale. The public doesn't even know it happened. That's a scandal. So all of that put together, I think, is the reason that drives me. Will that do?